Thank you for joining us on More Than That, a podcast where we dive a little bit deeper into what was preached on Sunday morning. We hope that this is enriching to your walk with Christ and that you love God and people that much more so that we can extend the glory of God to the people he has placed in our lives. So buckle up and enjoy the conversation. Hey City Church, welcome back to More Than That. We are in our second week of the Household Blueprint series, and this past week Raphael preached on Psalm 127 verses 3 through 5, which kind of focuses in a little bit more on children in the household. So Raphael, who is sitting right across from me, if you had 10 extra minutes to introduce something new or explain something a little bit more, go deeper on something, what would that have been?
I think what really I wanted to make sure I reiterate, like last week as we started, like there is a sense in which when you're listening to these things, you start maybe rewinding and going back to like maybe just how you've parented, mm-hmm. You know, and how maybe things that have been going on in your life and maybe just sense like a sense of guilt, a sense of like maybe, man, this is just maybe hope, leaving you hopeless. And I don't think that's actually the main point of this passage is, first of all, we are dealing with, wisdom literature. Wisdom literature is going to be very unique in the fact that it presents to you an ideal way and yet doesn't guarantee that the outcome is going to come out. It's not like a recipe. It's not a 1 + 1 = mm-hmm. 2. So as a parent, like you might have done all these things, but yet at the same time, like your child ends up actually turning out to be totally different. Mm-hmm. That is not, and so I want to really just kind of reiterate there that at the end of it all, we as parents can do the best possible to see them. Like I think my first point was to see them, to think wisely about children, seeing them as heritage from the Lord, mm-hmm. treat and, you know, train them, do all that. But yet we still have to be, you know, sharpen them as well, act right, wisely, sharpen them, do the best possible. But then at the end of the day, at the city gates, things actually end up turning, going south, mm-hmm. which is actually like they don't have lasting witness. Because at the end of it all, we still have to acknowledge that, you know, sin is still a very prevalent thing. The fall is still a very prevalent thing in the hearts of people. Mm-hmm. You know, as parents, we can set up our children as best as we can. But then the outcome still, we still need to keep on trusting the Lord for the outcome. Of actually like, but eventually our children also have to, they get to this point where they have to now lean towards the way of wisdom. Mm-hmm. And that is only through allowing the God who designed them to become the main contractor in their lives. Mm-hmm. And so instead of actually maybe feeling a sense of blame, feeling a sense of, I think what should be doing to all of us is maybe just maybe sending us back to the closet of prayer, unless the Lord builds a house. And some of mm-hmm. us might have already done all the things that we need to do. But then let's go back before God again and say, God, would you now take care of my children? Now they're at the place where they're making decisions on their own and they're doing all that. Would you lead them to the saving knowledge? Which mm-hmm. is one of the reasons why I enjoy baby dedication, is because we're praying that at the right mm-hmm. time yeah. they would collide with the good news of the gospel. But the problem is that like it's usually not our time. it's his time. Mm-hmm. At the right time, God saves us. That's what Romans 5 says. So I wanted to kind of just like maybe relieve some tension as well to those that maybe walked away from Sunday just thinking, man, have I screwed it all up? What becomes very important is begin to ask for grace from the Lord. Mm-hmm. Begin to ask for grace from the Lord to begin again. And your children might be grown, but it's not too late for you to begin to pray.
Mm-hmm.
Begin to actually ask God. What is that? There's a foundations repair company that takes a house that mm-hmm. is like a, that is 100 years old and repairs that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just saying that, like, the grace of God is not done with your children yet. Grace of God is not done with you yet. It's not. And so, therefore, re-engage with him. Ask him, repent where maybe you see where things, maybe you view children in a certain way. But then engage with him. I'll never forget, I talked to a gentleman after church on Sunday who basically said, hey, I have an older son. And right now, like, he's not living for the Lord. But what you've just motivated me to do is to go and really pray that he collides mm-hmm. with the right people.
Yeah.
Especially the extended, the church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's where the other grace comes in. Where sometimes we might have screwed it all up. So now, this is two ways. As a community, let's make sure that we're not living lives solo and where we're literally like, let's make sure we're also surrounding ourselves with godly men and women who become examples of faith to those that are, to even our children. They become extended.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, that's also very important when it comes to children's church. There's mm-hmm. a reason why, like, there's some people that... when my son says, hey, can I go spend a night at so-and-so's? Or can I hang out with this family? If I know that family is a bad influence, I probably say, nah, and find some way of just like saying, hey, son, I just don't think that's a good place for you to be at.
Mm-hmm.
But then there are those that have become like just great godly men. I want my son to be around them. I want my sons to see them interacting with their families and all mm-hmm. that. Why?
Yeah.
Because I want. There's a place where I end as well, where others can help and pick up.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably another factor there that I really wanted to, and we're going to cover that here when we'll cover kids again in Psalm 128. But just really looking at that and saying, man, like, don't do it alone. There's enough wisdom in within your church family that can help you. Mm-hmm. Do you have a teenager that's going wayward? Do you have? There's we can pray with one another, stand with one another, do all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about that, it also really calls us as well as a church to be very intentional when it comes to our children's church.
Yeah.
To become very intentional. And my prayer is that as a church, we would come out of this really seeing, not seeing volunteering in children's church as man, I just want to be amongst, you know, a lot of people usually would say, I just want to sit in church and be fed. But Jesus actually said also that, like, when you're amongst these children, you're also... that's also a way of worship too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, taking care of those that, like, at least need godly brothers and sisters who can come maybe overwhelm all the nonsense that they've been exposed to and get to see a good picture of what it looks like to be godly.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why.
Yeah,
that's why it's such a in-depth process to be a teacher here with kids with children's church. Like, it's not just something like, you want to serve with kids, great, we'll pull you in. It's like, you know, if you're going to be an actual teacher of the kids, we need to know that you know your stuff and that you're vetted and everything, not just for their safety, but also for for their spiritual life.
Mm-hmm.
We're taking all of these things into consideration.
Yeah.
And I think that that's also helpful to, like, point out, like, you know, if you're a part, like, worshiping God through teaching kids, we want to make sure that you're worshiping God correctly in a biblical way,
mm-hmm.
And in teaching our kids the right stuff, not some of the strange things that we have seen in the past.
Yeah, and if anything as well, like, I want to say that, like, if you walked out of feeling the weight, mm-hmm. you know, it's easy to try to lighten the load because it's heavy.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the load is not meant to be light. I have 6 children in my house,
mm-hmm.
Who are very, like, who I look at, and when I read Psalm 127, I really realize what a weight. But then, like, and realize, like, what they can be, sources of irritation, sources of just, like, you know, headaches and all that stuff. But then Christ actually doesn't call us to carry the weight of life by ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
He says, take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy and my burdens are light. What? Right? And so it means that, like, where God calls us to actually carry out work, he also gives us the grace to carry that work.
Mm-hmm.
And for some of us, it's going to be, you know, we're going to be thrown back at a point of depending on him over and over and over on a daily basis. And that becomes very important.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like, we also need to also be letting our kids get into a place where eventually, like, we need to be praying that they end up making their own decisions. There's a time where, if Solomon is the one writing, you know, Psalm 27 to 127, but there's a time when Solomon dies, you know, like, for example, in 1 Kings chapter 11, Solomon dies. And when Solomon dies, Rehoboam, the very son that he has, you know, who should have accepted his words, treasured his words, done all that,
mm-hmm.
according to Proverbs 1 all the way to 9, and we see him doing totally the opposite. Rehoboam, when he becomes king, the people appeal to him,
mm-hmm.
Hey, would you lighten the load that your dad kind of, he weighed heavy on us on this way, and Rehoboam kind of, like, goes and asks the elders tell him, yeah, you need to listen to the people. And then he goes and listen to his brother, his peers totally give him the opposite advice. And he goes with his peers, and the kingdom divides, and from there there's just turmoil,
mm-hmm.
right? And, you know, exiles and all that.
That's
stuff.
That's when the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom
and the southern
divide, right?
Yeah. And that's simply because, but at the same mm-hmm. time, Solomon gave him everything that he needed.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, the issue that's there is the weight that I don't want us to actually walk away from is that, could Solomon have done a better job in actually securing Rehoboam's future? You know, he taught him, yes. But then the issue that's there is that Solomon goes and does totally the opposite of what mm-hmm. he's teaching. And so the son is now, he then experiences what I would say turbulence. Solomon became a headwind dad versus a tailwind dad to Rehoboam. And how did he do that? He told him stuff that he needed to believe in, and he didn't demonstrate it with his life.
Yeah.
That then becomes, like, You became a headwind dad, because on the first 90 days of his office, he totally screwed the whole kingdom up. And that's mm-hmm. actually like where we're like, okay, we can be tailwinds by living lives of discipleship ourselves. Getting on the yoke and just saying, whatever it is that you've given me, Lord, I am going to depend on you. I'm not going to get out of this yoke. Mm-hmm. I'm going to build it with you, and only you are able to build better children than I can.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's actually now, at the end of it all, just Jesus is more. If we look at it at all, and we're kind of just like looking at Psalm 127,
mm-hmm.
I think the capstone of that is Jesus is more interested in actually what? Building your house than you can. He's more interested in building, providing for you, protecting. And mm-hmm. then he's more interested in actually what? Rearing your children than you are.
Yeah.
So depend on him for every step on your house.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually what it looks like then, to build your house on the rock.
Mm-hmm.
Even your children should be established on this rock, which is Christ.
Yeah. And I mean, thinking about, you know, my daughter's upstairs sleeping right now, and thinking about, you know, my role as a dad.
Yeah.
And, you know, like raising my child up and raising her up so that she doesn't, you know, like fall away. She stays the course, and her faith is not just is challenged but strengthened at the same time.
Yeah.
When I'm thinking about that, it definitely puts things into perspective. And like, I gotta get my stuff.
I gotta get my stuff right.
But also, like, if we lighten the load on our kids in terms of just feeding them milk their entire life, and we're not like weaning them into some more substantive stuff of, like, you know, you said you wanted to let the weight of this sit on the church. I like to do the same thing when I talk about the resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
And how gruesome that is. Like, yeah, it's great to know that Jesus died for our sins, but as they get older, letting them know exactly what Jesus went through.
Yeah.
And letting them sit there with that. And if that causes them to go into their room and just cry, and be like, that's okay. Like, let them deal with the weight of sin and the crucifixion and all of that stuff and so many other things within the church life and the Bible and seeing, I'm like, as dad, I'm not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to do my best to point you to somebody who is.
Yeah.
Which I'm going to definitely put myself on a pedestal or put my field on the pedestal. And that's where I think like some good apologetic training is really helpful, not just for the parents in helping their faith, but also so that when these type of things come up with our kids, the parents are ready to field the questions, but also our kids are going to be that much more strengthened because of it.
Yeah,
because they're ready and they know how to handle the questions now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it just becomes very important where. I think, so for me on Sunday, and here in 2 weeks' time, we're going to be talking about, in 3 weeks' time, we're going to be talking about it a little bit more as well. There is a sense in which we need to be thinking, processing. Like, I think all that stuff, like, it has to be now coming back from, God gave me a gift,
mm-hmm.
and he gave me instructions on how to take care of this gift. And I need to walk with them. Like, this is like your number, Deuteronomy 6.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times we're like, oh yeah, my kids are still too young to teach. You know, read them Bible stories. Begin to actually mm-hmm. start really, you know, there's just amazing things that are out there right now, like just people mm-hmm. that have dedicated their lives to developing material that is accessible to kids.
Yeah.
it just really takes some time to, and I think that's now like where what you're talking about. A lot of times, as even entrusting that with our children, or maybe lack of, is coming from we have not first of all sat on the weight of God entrusted me with this child. Yeah. And then God wants me to lead this child back to Him.
Yeah.
God, what ultimately what they need more than me is God.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm temporary. God is eternal. Like, ultimately what they... And then so from there, now then you can actually engage their minds. You can... So we try, in our house, we try to get our kids reading.
Yeah.
And not only that, like sitting down and reading what maybe some people would look at it and be like, that's hard material to actually read.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if we have to stop and explain every word, we have to.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing. Like, it's just one of those things of like thinking, yesterday I was teaching my son how to mow the lawn.
Mm-hmm.
The lawnmower is a little bit big. And it's so easy for me to, the easiest part is like for me to throw in headphones and just do it myself.
Mm-hmm. If you're like me, it's like relaxing.
Yeah, it's relaxing. Yeah, it's easy. But then at the same time, I'm realizing he wants to learn. Mm-hmm. And actually, like, the three other boys were all standing there looking like them. Well, we're missing out on something
like
big here.
We're like a... Healthy jealous.
Yeah, healthy jealous. So, but what does that look like? What does that? And a mm-hmm. lot of times it's so, when it comes to family discipleship and to teaching our kids, walking with them,
mm-hmm.
I think a lot of times it's not that like, it's not so much of the fact that like the material is too hard. It's just that we don't feel fit enough to field the questions.
Yeah.
So what we need to do, and this is now the part where you don't have to look like Superman in front of them 24/7.
It's okay to be not, or it's okay to not know.
Yeah, not to know say, something. Hey, I don't know much about that. How about let me go study that? And there's like for me, I actually have realized when the need is there, I do better in finding the answers for mm-hmm. it.
Yeah.
Our children are actually means of grace towards us. They're yeah. means of grace because they help us with, like, if you don't know the story of the Bible, just listen. Read through the kids' Bible version of the story of the Bible.
Mm-hmm. You get like, a good picture.
If you read, like, 2 years in a row, man, you will know more mm-hmm. about Scripture. And then keep on having to find actually like follow it as your kids are growing. Like my son is 11 now. We're reading something a little bit more sophisticated and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Like he's now reading the Bible. My daughter is reading the Bible, full Bible.
Mm-hmm.
But we stop and we read it and we do all that yeah. stuff. And when I don't know, I go and try to actually like, or maybe message someone else and say, mm-hmm. hey,
yeah.
I don't know about this. Like, with, you know, I actually, one of my greatest joys as a pastor is when someone says, hey, we were studying this. This is what came up.
Mm-hmm.
Do you mind helping us explain this?
Yeah.
And man, like, great. Let's do that. Why? Because mm-hmm. it just shows me we're taking ownership over the fact these are gifts from the Lord. We're mm-hmm. taking care of them. And let's actually then continue developing them.
Yeah.
What and why they believe and all that mm-hmm. stuff and how to defend their faith and all that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think you bring up a good point too. Like if somebody comes to you and asks you for help, like that's just another way of saying as a church body, we're here. We're doing this together. Mm-hmm. So like, I mean, it could be you like.
Yeah, you can ask your friends.
Yeah, yeah.
You can
ask anybody that you think might have an answer.
Yeah.
And you could even throw it up on Facebook. Hey, I was doing this thing with my kids. Like, what do you have to say about this? And maybe
yep.
you might find somebody that's in your friends list that knows a whole lot about Scripture.
Yeah.
So yeah, like, I think one of the things with our kids, and especially with, you know, as your son's getting older, and you're reading, you're taking him through more complex and complicated books, I think that stems from a high view of our kids. So if we're charged with stewarding over these kids, then, and we have a low view of them, then we're not going to take stewardship seriously. But if we have a high view of our children, that not only gives us that, like, that God-given sense of, like, like, you're like, God gave me this specifically. I need to take care of it. But also, as we're teaching our kids, and we don't have a high view of them, we're going to dumb things down even more. But if we have that higher view, then we're just explaining these big, broad concepts that we're not really dumbing down. We're just putting it in terms they can understand. But that also that also requires you to know your stuff. And I, you know, we went. I was over at your house for a college lunch this past year, and one of the things that was brought up was essentially like going deeper into scripture. And I, like, my thing is not that we don't have people that are not able to go deeper, but if you are able to go deeper, you have a responsibility to go deeper.
That's good. So it's just, believe me, it's one of those things that's like, what becomes important is, if you don't feel like you're in above your head in this parenting thing, it's going to seldomly you won't be needing grace and you won't be needing Jesus. You won't be needing. But you need to feel like, if you feel like, oh man, they're asking way too many questions I don't know. Well, that might mean then maybe just like skip out.
Send me an email.
Yeah, send Tyler an email. Or just skip out on 15 minutes of or 30 minutes of watching your TV show, favorite TV show. Pick up a book in our bookstore and like and begin to actually dig deeper into it.
Yeah, YouTube is also a great place.
Yeah.
Like, I'm pretty sure
that there's a terrible place. But anyway,
yes, there are lots of rabbit holes on YouTube. But I'm pretty sure you can get like a bachelor's level like equivalent degree just by watching YouTube.
And so, if you need books as well, like, we've got, if you go on our resources page and then the website, we keep on having to beef that up. Just go and look in there and just see, like, hey, what about apologetics? What about this? What about that? Knowing what you believe. I think there's a lot of things that, like, you can ask for help. And that's not a sin. That's not a, what you call it. That's not a weakness. That's a strength. In my culture, we say that whoever is a mouth, they will never get lost. If you can ask, you can't get lost. You know,
which and, is, as a guy, hearing that, I'm like, man, I don't want directions.
But at the same time, that's actually like, but trust those who have gone before you. There's a lot of people that have like done and gone through all that stuff. So we just have to really just keep on having to say, man, what does, and sometimes a high view of our children comes from just watching our friends also have a high, you know. And so that's like something, that's why you need to also be in community, because my view can always be challenged by my brother, my sisters around me. So we need each other in order to raise that level too. So that's good.
And I mean, I'll be completely honest, coming in to church on Sunday, like for like at 8:30 for practice, I can definitely say I did not have a high view of my daughter. She had us up at 3. And she was screaming her head off for like 2 hours straight. I didn't, like, I was up since 3 that morning. So my day was already half done normally by the time I got to church.
So I preached to you on Sunday.
Oh my gosh. There was, I just sat there. I'm like, I'm just taking it all in. I barely have any notes on this comparatively speaking. And I'm like, I just need to sit here
like, and just take it in. Like, yes, I am, like, thinking and prepping for our conversation right now, but I'm also, like, yeah, you are, like, we're having a one-on-one conversation during during this sermon.
Yeah.
So.
Hey, man, that's a.
She showed me how much I really do need Jesus.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's. And at the same time, that's actually now, like, the other side of that. Like, it's like we forfeit, and I think I say that on Sunday, we forfeit a grace that's coming to us when we don't even have that high view mm-hmm. of them.
Yeah.
There's a grace that comes to us. As in, like, if it's just there, just a bother.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but let's kind of, behind that, what's the bother? What's behind that? Like, mm-hmm. what's...
Yeah.
What you truly need is no longer just to control this child. You need more patience. And I'm so glad that right now there's one that has that is dishing out patience as if it's free candy on yeah. Halloween.
Yeah.
Jesus died so that he can bear the fruit of the Spirit inside within us.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so, man, when I need patience, when I need long suffering, 2 hours, you know, so
2 hours and about 40 minutes in the car, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, that can be tough. Yeah. And sometimes when you're looking at each other, and then there were times when we're driving and we had misplaced the binky and all of a sudden we're blaming each other, we're arguing, and like, it's like, and but at the same time, we don't realize that it's just like the reason why is because both of us are frustrated. We're frustrated over this gift.
Yeah,
that's in our backseat, that just will not stop screaming nonstop.
Yeah.
But then, hey, just to give you just a little reprieve, it gets better and it gets worse. You're still gonna need Jesus. I just got a text from my wife. Hey, you need to talk to your son. So you'll need Jesus still.
One of the things that I don't want to neglect is those that don't have kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A lot of times, like, we can see, you know, parents as, like, the pinnacle of the Christian life, or that, like, you know, there's nothing a single person can do in the life of the children of the church, or just kids in general, because we have a whole lot of teachers that come to church here. So when I'm thinking about those that don't have kids of their own, you know, take that role seriously, that you have the time and energy to give them.
Yeah.
That you can be that person to say, no, like, Mom, Dad, you stay down here. This is, like, I want to do this for you. And I'm going to go up and teach the kids. Yeah. I don't have kids. You do this 6 days out of the week. Let me do this one thing for you, this one day for you. So it's a way for our singles at City Church to serve kids and parents. But also, if you don't have any of your own, I want to challenge you to have that high view of our children, so that whenever you do see them out in the lobby after church, before church, everyday life, we got the Little League World Series going on right now, you're over there and you see them, like, you have this high view of them so that you can then approach them the same way as you would approach them here.
Yeah. And I think that's now, like, where, you know, we always think about, like, you know, I don't have children, or that's why I say that at the beginning. It applies to you also because you are a child. So maybe actually, like, if I was to borrow your term, this also affects your view of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because just one of those things. Like, you heard me using the Toy Story, I am trash.
Mm-hmm. Was that Toy Story 3?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, that's why I didn't know the reference, because I haven't seen that one yet.
Oh, man, that's sad.
Listen, the original is where it's at.
No, you got to watch it. And when you watch it, you will see what I do, you know. So if I didn't, probably then I probably motivated other people to go watch it. But it just really helps, like, in our view of ourselves. Because through people, things, experiences, and mm-hmm. all our traumas and stuff, we can start thinking, I'm trash. I just, like, I'm not. Like, but when you see this right here, it's not only just saying children. It says you are a gift from the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Like, made in his image, Imago Dei, and all that stuff. And so that just becomes very important to actually, mm-hmm. like, say, okay, all right, so I'm made in the image of God. They are made in the image of God. I'm made to flourish, which is shalom. I'm made to flourish.
Mm-hmm.
They're made to flourish. God's job is actually be fruitful. Like, God's mandate on human beings was to be fruitful and multiply.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to see us fruitful. So therefore, we need to now be able to, just like you're saying, how am I taking part in actually the fruitfulness of humanity,
mm-hmm.
Besides just only my own kids?
Yeah.
How am I helping throw the gospel to the future,
mm-hmm.
which is, you know, and then just kind of thinking about that. And that's, mm-hmm. we talked about that. I think Arwen is, like, probably going to, how old is she going to be in 2100?
I have to pull my calculator out.
She's what? At this moment, she's what?
She was born in 2022, so.
2022, so she's probably going to be 88. Or.
88, and I'll be looking down.
Yeah, there you go. So.
Yeah. So it's like. When that comes into perspective, that throws an even heavier weight on us as the church, not just the parents. It's like, hey, if we don't do this, because we've already seen so much division within the church.
78, yes.
That still put me at, like, 110, 112. It's like, I don't want to see that number. But we've already seen that type of, like, division because of a lack of doctrinal training in the church.
Yeah.
So it's like, if we don't want to see that continue, we need to take this seriously and not just be doctrinally sound ourselves.
Yeah.
But also raise our children to be doctrinally sound as well.
Yeah. That's good. That is good. Yeah, I'm looking forward to some more on this series. I think mm-hmm. I think we're going to be, it's going to be just keep getting better.
Yeah, it definitely will, because it's getting more and more personal.
Yes, it is.
So, I don't know if I'm, just based on your smile, I'm not sure if I'm going to be liking that or not. Hey. But, so for those of you that didn't, that are listening, that smile is very menacing. I get that a lot, but Rafael, I just want to thank you for preaching directly to me on Sunday as I was exhausted. So thank you for that rest, but also just thank you for taking us through 127 and 128 of the Psalter. And for those of you that are listening, I just want to remind you as well that this is not a replacement for the Sunday sermon. It's just a vitamin. So get involved with your local church. If you're not in Williamsport, if you are in Williamsport and you don't have a local church, we would love to meet you and see how you can be a part of our church and how we can help you gain this high view of not just the children of the church and of the world, but also of yourself in light of the gospel. So, Rafael, thank you again, and we will see you all next week.